The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
We learn from our mistakes. We learn from our failures. Today, I want to talk to you about someone who learned from his failures, which is evident by his life, his continued life. We're going to talk or kind of just zoom in on just this small piece of his life. But mainly, when we look at the Bible, when we look at the information that God gives us, the stories that God shows us, then we can take the failures of others and we can learn from those mistakes so that we don't repeat those mistakes. How many of you would rather learn from someone else's mistake rather than from your own? You with me on that one? Okay, so if I see someone make a mistake, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to do that. That looked like it hurt, right? Or whatever, you know, they make a bad decision, an unwise decision, and, you know, just like, note to self, don't ever do that, right? We want to learn from other people's mistakes. The Bible, that's actually a biblical concept. I don't know if you guys realize that. The Bible actually tells us that everything that was written in the past is written so that we could have knowledge of that and that we could learn from the mistakes that other people have made. And so we're going to be doing some of that today because we're going to be looking at Abraham. And now Abraham, pretty cool guy. I mean, this guy is considered like, you know, the ultimate patriarch when it comes to Old Testament and just the story of the history of God's people. But here's the thing that we need to realize about Abraham, that even though Abraham is noted in the Bible for doing a lot of amazing things, he also messed up pretty bad at times. And so we're going to look at those moments because those moments remind us of ourselves. Am I right? We look at someone else's failure as recorded in God's word, and we're like, hey, I've done that before. I've gone down that path before. And human history kind of has a habit of repeating itself, and I feel like we oftentimes will repeat the same mistakes if we don't learn from those mistakes. And so that's my goal today, is that we would learn and we would know, you know, recognize this is a mistake and it's something that, a direction that we're headed that's unhealthy for us. So, title of message is, I Did It My Way. I didn't actually make a promise to sing, but no, I won't do that for you. But my wife can attest to my singing abilities. I'm actually really good. I have to have the right shampoo bottle that's kind of shaped like a microphone, and the shower just makes such great acoustics, and so pretty amazing. We should record it sometimes. I think I probably would be at least YouTube famous if that ever happened. But so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. So I encourage you guys, as always, to be in your Bibles, follow along there, but it's also going to be on the screen for you, so you'll have it there as well. But Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to find out what happens when you have this attitude of, I did it my way. Sound good? All right, let's read this. Genesis 12, we'll start in verse 1, which starts out really, really good. So Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Man, this is like such good news. Can you imagine getting this news? God's just like, you know what? I'm going to bless you beyond measure. I'm going to make you famous. Other people are going to bless you. I mean, look at this promise. It's a huge promise. He says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. I can't even imagine what's going through Abraham's head when God tells him that. I mean, that is just a huge, major promise. And God has given this promise to this man and has said that everybody is going to benefit from this blessing down through the ages. Okay, look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord instructed, and Lot went with him. Lot's his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, all his wealth, his livestock, all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abraham traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. Okay, now let me explain what's going on here, because you're just like, man, it just sounds like Abram's on like this crazy road trip, right? Well, that's actually what's happening. So God extends this incredible blessing, a huge promise to Abram. Matter of fact, this becomes known as the Abrahamic covenant, okay? It's a major promise in the scriptures that we point to because it applies to God's people in this time period. And Abraham's blessing or promise from God extended down through generations that followed him. So here you have God appearing to Abram, giving him this incredible blessing. By the way, he hasn't changed his name to Abraham yet, so Abram is what we're calling him. And he gives him this incredible blessing, and he says, Abram, this is what I want you to do. He's like, I want you to pack up your stuff, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. That would be like someone telling you, hey, I want you to go on a road trip. And you're like, cool, where are we going? Well, I'm not going to tell you yet, but just get in the car, start driving, head that direction. And when you get close, I'm going to tell you where you're going. Okay, that's the kind of instructions that Abram was given. And Abram's just like, let's do this. Let's do this. I'm not afraid to do what God's calling me to do. And things are actually going really good at this point. Along the way, as Abram's journeying, he's stopping at different places along his journey, and he's like setting up altars to worship God. So he's like thanking God, he's giving God glory, he's giving him praise for all the places that God has taken him to. And the trip is going great. It's like when you leave for a family vacation and, you know, like the first 100 miles, right? First 100 miles is like awesome. And then the kids start crying, you know, and then like stuff starts happening. Something goes wrong with the car. It's like, oh, this. But I mean, right now the trip is just smooth. Things are going great. Abram's praising God. He's thankful to God. He probably has this promise of God just in his mind. He's thinking about it. He's just like, man, this is so cool. I can't wait to see the adventure that God has for me. So I'm going to throw a map up on the screen for you so that you can kind of see the journey that Abram took. So Abram was in Ur originally, which is down over here, and he traveled up. Go ahead and let's travel Abram up here to a place called Haran, okay? And by the way, he was with his family, his father, his entire family when he traveled up to this place, okay? But then when God says, Abram, I want you to go down into Canaan, okay? I want you to head this direction because I have promised you this incredible land, okay? Call it the promised land, okay? Matter of fact, we'll map out the promised land so you can see what it looks like. There it is, okay? So you have this massive territory that God has promised to give Abraham and his people, okay? God has said, Abram, the promised land is yours, and your people are going to always have this and always enjoy this land that I'm giving to them, okay? So Abram continues his journey down. So he goes on down to this area called Negev. Okay, so all along the way, as I mentioned, Abram is thanking and praising God because God is with him on this journey, okay? Now, it takes a lot of faith to pack up all your stuff and head somewhere that you don't know exactly where you're going, but you're going on the instruction of God. You're following God's leading, and you're just going for it. Matter of fact, this is such a big deal that Abram does this that Abram actually gets a mention in the Hall of Fame in the New Testament. We call it the Hall of Fame or Hall of Faith, okay, which is in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read it for you. Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. So this act alone, this act of leaving all your stuff and pursuing the plan that God has for your life. That's what Abram's going through. And the fact that he's doing that, Abram gets a mention in the New Testament. And God says, that's what faith looks like. When God says, get up and go, you get up and go. So things are going great, right up until about verse 10 of our passage. So let's look at Genesis 12, verse 10. It says, at that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan. Things are not so good at this moment because Abram just happened to move to a new place called Canaan, and all of a sudden there's a shortage. All of a sudden there's not. And here's what happened back in the ancient world when there was a shortage of water, okay? When there was a drought, there was no way for anybody to grow crops. And they didn't have the technology that we have where we could get around droughts, right? It's not like they could say, okay, people only run your sprinklers on Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? I mean, they couldn't like make those adjustments and do those kinds of things. I mean, they were totally dependent upon the rain to make this happen. And so when there's a famine in the land, when there's a drought, there a famine follows that, okay? So it's pretty intense. Matter of fact, people can die from this situation. And what happens whenever there's this kind of phenomenon that's taking place? People flee the area. People leave the area because they're like, I've got to find a place that's better than where I'm at. Because this place, we're going to die here, okay? So this severe famine struck the land of Canaan. And I think we come across our first lesson that we need to learn from this part of Abram's life. And that is to trust God in the lean times. To trust God in the lean times. Have you experienced lean times? Have you felt like you were doing what God told you to do, going where God wants you to go, and then all of a sudden the money starts to run out? Maybe you lose your job. Maybe they scale things back at work. Maybe there's this other financial hardship that hits you, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a difficult place. You find yourself in lean times. Have you been there? You know what we're talking about? This is where Abram finds himself, in a lean time. So at this moment, Abram has a choice. He has a choice. He can either continue to do what God has called him to do, or he can take matters in his own hand, do his own thing. We have the same choice. See, when you face a shortage, you have a choice. Trust in God's provision or depend on your own resources. Every single one of us, every time we face a shortage in life where we don't have something that we want or need, we have a choice. We can either allow God to provide for us, trust in him that he's going to provide, or we can start to take matters into our own hands. And let's see what choice Abraham makes. So look at the second part of verse 10. It says, so Abram went down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. So Abram's choice was to leave the promised land, the place where God told him, I want you to go and dwell. His choice is, I'm leaving the promised land. I'm headed to Egypt. Okay? Now here's the thing. Why do you think Abram decided to go to Egypt? I mean, what was so attractive about Egypt? I want you to kind of think through this process with me, because whenever we make a decision to not do what God's asked us to do, we justify it in our minds. You know what I'm talking about? We make excuses for it. We say, this is the right decision, and this is the reason why. I mean, if we're really super organized and really want to cover our butts, we'll say, okay, here's like these six reasons why I should do this, okay? I mean, sure, God said to do this, and God wants me to do this, and I know that's true, but I have these other reasons, and they're logical, and they make sense to me, and here's why I'm doing it this way, okay? So let's look at the map again here, and we're going to look at an actual satellite view of the area so you can kind of get an idea of why Abram decided to go down into Egypt. Okay, so let's zoom in on that, Randy. All right, so you can see the land of Canaan over here. To this side, I'll do over here, it's a little better. Okay, looks pretty dry, barren, kind of reminds me of the Imperial Valley, right? Deserty. And then you have Egypt. What's going on over here? It's green, it's lush. It's like right at this inlet, okay, where there's plenty of water, and there's fertile land, and there's fertile crops. I mean, if there's a famine in the area, guess where everybody's headed? They're headed to Egypt, because that's where the water is. That's where the greenery is. That's where things are still happening. That's where they're unaffected by this drought. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you actually, if you read through the story of the Bible, if you kind of narratively read the Bible, you'll find in places when there were famines and there were things going on in the area, people would go to Egypt for help. because Egypt was a stable place. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Here's the thing. Every time you face hardship, you'll be tempted to rely on your own intellect rather than God's wisdom. So every time you face a difficult situation, you're going to be tempted to trust in your own understanding, what makes sense to you, your own intellect, rather than God's wisdom. And here's Abraham following his own intellect. Egypt is lush and drought-free. It sounds like the logical decision. I'm going to leave the place that God told me to go, and I'm going to go down to Egypt and see what happens there. We do that. We do that in life. So one of the things that happened a couple summers ago when we took the kids to camp, they have these different opportunities to have experiences they wouldn't have normally at home, and one of those opportunities was to go rappelling, okay? So they could sign up at a certain time, and then we'd take them to, like, this cliff, and they would, you know, with an instructor and all the safety equipment, everything they need, these students would learn how to rappel, okay? So I'm, like, thinking to myself, rappelling is not something you pick up on the first try. And how do I know this? Because I went and watched these kids do this. And it's when you see them do it for the first time, it's a little bit amusing. Let me just give you an example. This is not from our camp, but let me give you an example of that. So, okay. That doesn't look like fun. So there you have a good example of a first rappelling attempt, okay? Now, there's some things that you have to understand about rappelling, and I don't claim to be like someone who knows how to rappel and like a professional at this, okay? But I did talk to the guy that was giving the instructions that was actually doing it. So I'm like, so how do you do that without doing that, right? He's like, well, you have to rely completely on the rope. He's like, what happens is people rely on their feet and their strength in their legs instead of the rope. And so instead of putting all the weight on the rope like they're supposed to, they try to like climb or use their legs to walk down the wall, and it doesn't work because they have to trust the rope and they have to be able to put all of their weight into the rope, and all their feet are doing is keeping their body at distance from the cliff. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Not that I want to try it, but it makes sense. Okay, another video for you. See someone else try it. Another beginner, first timer. Pretty high up. Here he goes. How do you get out of that situation, right?
There you go. Get up. There it is. Now you take a
jump. Okay, so if we watch the entire video, eventually the guy figures it out. About halfway down, he starts to figure out, oh, I need to like do a little hop and like, you know, push myself away from the cliff, and just my legs are just there to keep my distance, to keep me from slamming up against the rock. Okay, so that's the whole idea. And I want you guys to understand something about the situation that Abram finds himself in and the situation that we find ourselves in. It's like rappelling. We have to have complete and total dependence upon God, just like the rappeller has to have complete and total dependence upon the rope. Okay, when we start depending on our own strength, and we start trying to do things our way, our face hits the wall or our back, whatever it might be. This is something that happens over and over again in our lives, and you think that we would learn the lesson, right? But the truth is that we have to have that kind of dependence upon God in order for us to be able to make it. It reminds me of a verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding." I read that verse and I have a picture of a guy rappelling. Okay? And instead of leaning on the rope, the guy's like leaning on his legs and his feet. And you can't support yourself when the wall's vertical, right? In the same way, when life goes vertical, you can't support yourself. You can't support your own weight. You can't do it in your own strength. You have to rely and trust God. And you know what's wrong with a lot of us, most of us? We don't have enough trust in that rope. We have way too much trust in our own leg, muscle strength. Life goes vertical, and what ends up happening? We end up dangling on the edge of a cliff. This is important, guys. Here's the thing. Abram decides, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do because something else makes sense. He starts to lean on his own wisdom, his own understanding. And just because it makes sense to you doesn't mean it's God's plan for you. I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss it. Just because it makes sense to you doesn't mean that it's God's plan for you. And Abram discovers this pretty quickly. Okay, so Abram makes this decision to go down to Egypt. Let's see how that choice, relying on his own wisdom, let's see how that works out for him. Look at verse 11. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarah, look, you are a very beautiful woman. Aw, isn't that sweet? That's what every woman wants to hear, right? On the road trip, husband turns to wife and says, babe, you're hot. You're gorgeous. You're a beautiful woman. Sarah's a little suspicious. She's like, so why are you telling me this, Abram? Okay, let's find out why. He says, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Let's kill him. Then we can have her. You might hear this, you know, you might think to yourself, okay, Abram's just getting a little stir crazy on the road, right? He's like thinking up all these crazy things that could happen. And so he's just like, man, what happens if I go to Egypt and someone sees my wife and they're just like, hey, it's that guy's wife. And then they want her and so they kill me so they can have her. He's like, you know, going through all these, it's like he's in panic mode, right? That's what you might think. Well, here's the thing. In that culture, in that time, there was really only one type of people that was protected in Egypt from someone just coming and taking what they want from you. And that was the Egyptians. If you were a foreigner and you came into Egypt and the Egyptians saw that you had something you wanted, guess what? There were no laws that could stop them from taking it from you. There were no laws in place that would prevent an Egyptian from taking something that you owned. Okay? They had plenty of laws that governed the Egyptians and kept them from doing that to each other, but from a foreigner, it just wasn't going to happen. So Abram, once again, he's like, okay, I've decided to do something a little bit different, you know, a little detour from what God told me to do, and now I'm in a situation where there could be some danger here. And so he's coming up with a plan, okay? And here's what happens. Every time we face this kind of moment, this danger, this uncertainty, once again, we have this choice. And then we learned our next lesson from Abraham's story, and it's this. Trust God in uncertainty. We need to trust God in uncertainty. See, because there are going to be moments in your life when you're faced with a difficult situation where you do not know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what danger lies ahead. And when you arrive upon that moment in your life, once again, you're given a choice. Every time you face fear, you have a choice. Trust God's promises or take matters into your own hands. Now, Abram had this incredible promise from God. Do you guys remember the promise? I mean, we just read it a little while ago. I mean, Abraham just actually received this promise not too long ago. What was the promise? I'm just going to give you a recap. I won't have it on the screen, but God says to Abraham, I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. So Abraham has this incredible promise from God, and the promise is all about protection and blessing. And what's Abraham doing? He's like, oh man, this situation looks a little uncertain. What do I do? Abraham, God made you this incredible promise. Do you remember the promise? I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. In other words, I'm going to shower my blessing on you, and those that don't bless you, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to withdraw my blessing. So he has this incredible promise, and so he can either rely on this promise that he received from God, or he can come up with his own plan. What do you think he does? Let's look at verse 13 and find out. He says to Sarah, his wife, "So please tell them you are my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you." Abram once again hatches a plan, and his plan is something very different from leaning on God's promises. Something very different from trusting God. He's like, let's just do a little deception here, and maybe it'll happen. Okay, for those of you that are Bible scholars, you might point out that Sarah actually was Abram's sister. Ew, gross, right? What's that all about? Well, okay, this was not a big deal back when the world was not very populated, okay? There was no one else to marry but your relatives back in the ancient world, right? I mean, you were related to everybody, okay? And it was like not a big deal. It didn't become a big deal until later on in history, okay? So, not that big of a deal, but not the point. Because Abram wants the people to think that this gal that's with him, they just have this platonic relationship, right? And here's his thought process. Because they could either take his wife away from him and kill him, or they could take his sister and do something nice for him. And I don't know if Abram was thinking that in the back of his mind. Maybe he was thinking, worst case scenario, if they do grab Sarah, at least I'm going to get something out of it, right? I don't know if that was what he was thinking. But let's see what happens here. Because here's the thing. When you form a plan apart from God, don't be surprised when your plan comes apart. When you make a plan and you leave God out of the plan, don't be surprised when things go crazy. Okay? Psalms 127, verse 1, kind of reminds me of this truth. It says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted." In other words, if God's not involved in the process and if God is not very much a part of the plan, it's just going to be a waste of time. It might even be disastrous. So when you plan apart from God, don't be surprised when your plan falls apart. Well, let's see how Abram's plan works out. Let's look at verse 14. It says, "And sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarah's beauty." Now, this gal must have been just gorgeous because she arrives in town and all of a sudden the town is abuzz about her beauty, okay? So I think Abram must have married way, way out of his league, right? I mean, this is a crazy situation. All of a sudden, people are just like, you know, they're going by. It's kind of like the opening scene of Beauty and the Beast when Belle's like, you know, going through the village singing, right? And, you know, people are stumbling, tripping over things because they're like, you know, ogling over her. That's like, she's so beautiful, right? So Sarah enters the city with Abram and everybody's like checking her out. When the palace officials saw her, talk about worst case scenario, right? When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, the king, and Sarah was taken into his palace. So it's like Abram's worried about, you know, just somebody seeing Sarah and thinking that she's attractive and wanting her, but she happens to get noticed by only the most powerful man in the nation, okay? So now some crazy stuff is about to go down. Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her. Sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. Okay, so get what's happening here. Sarah is identified as this beautiful woman. Pharaoh wants her. She's ushered off to the palace. And because she's Abram's sister, not his wife, she's his sister, right? They're like, well, let's give this guy some nice stuff because he has such a beautiful sister. Now, growing up, I had two sisters. No one ever gave me nice stuff because of my sisters. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know how this works out, but for whatever reason, because they thought Sarah was his sister, they rewarded him because of her beauty. And look at all the cool stuff he gets. I mean, you would think Abram's just like, man, this plan didn't work out so bad after all, except for the fact that my wife has been kidnapped, right? That's like the small detail that's not exactly working out in my favor. But check out what happens. Because remember the promise from God that God is going to bless those who bless Abram and curse those who treat him with contempt or cause him difficulty or make life miserable for him? So what ends up happening because of the promise of God? It says in verse 17, but the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and accused him sharply. What have you done to me? He demanded. Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and get out of here. So Pharaoh is ticked off because Abram lied to him and Abram caused all these problems to come on his household. And what does he want to do? He just wants to get Abram and Sarah as far away from him as possible. He's like, I don't even care about the goats. He's like, just go. Just get out of my sight. I don't want any part of you. This is kind of the saddest part of the story. Because here you have this pagan king who has no respect for God and doesn't live a life to honor God. And here you have Abram, who is following the call of God. He's the father of nations, right? I mean, here's Abram. He's like God's man in that day and time. Abram is the dude. And he has this pagan guy coming to him and saying, hey, man, you're doing it all wrong. That's jacked up. You're messed up. Here's the thing. The world is watching the way we live. People identify when we do something that's not right or that doesn't line up with the life that we claim to live. Does that make sense? People see you do something and they're like, that's out of line with what they believe about God. And they recognize that. And that's exactly what happens in Abraham's life. Pharaoh comes to him and is like, that's not in line with the character that you're supposed to have. And he's like, a matter of fact, that's like the worst thing someone's done to me all day or all year. So Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, and he sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and his possessions. Here's the thing. When you refuse to trust God, you put your future in jeopardy, and you bring shame to God's reputation. And that's exactly what happened here with Abram. He refused to trust God. He was doing it his way. And what happens? He puts his family in jeopardy, and he trashes God's reputation. The same thing is true for us. Same thing is true for us. When we don't trust God with our lives, when we don't honor God and do the right thing, we put ourselves in jeopardy. We put those that we love in jeopardy, those closest to us, and we dishonor God. We mess up God's reputation when we do that. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In other words, man is going to come up with a really good plan, but if it doesn't include God, no, bad stuff. So we need to trust God in the lean times. We need to trust God in uncertainty. And basically, we just need to do it God's way. That's Abraham's major problem. That's where he went wrong. He was just like Frank Sinatra, right? I did it my way. Look back on that mess of a life. And, oh, man, that didn't work out. So we got to do it God's way. If life is going to bring us the fulfillment that God has intended for this life to bring us, and by fulfillment, I mean that God is meeting our needs and God is blessing us. And by blessing, I don't mean that God is like giving us everything we want, okay? Because that's not blessing. When God blesses us, he gives us what is best for us. And if we're going to live that kind of a life, what do we have to do? We have to do things God's way. We have to do it God's way. So I'm going to give you three things. in order to do it God's way. And the first one is this: expect difficulty. Expect difficulty. And why do I say expect difficulty? Because if you start off on your journey with God, just like Abraham did, you're going to do what God told you to do, and you're worshiping God, things are going right, things are going the way they're supposed to, there's no guarantee that there's not going to be a drought down the road. There's no guarantee that there's not going to be some obstacle, some sort of a struggle on the road ahead. In fact, following God today does not exempt you from pain tomorrow. Just because you're following after God right at this moment in your life doesn't mean that you're going to avoid pain tomorrow. It's a part of life. The droughts come, and we're faced with a choice. We got to trust God, we got to continue to do things God's way, or we take matters into our own hands and do our own thing. And you saw how that turned out for Abram. Second thing, do not rely on yourself. Do not rely on yourself. Now I realize these are not easy steps in doing it God's way. But God never said it was going to be easy. God never said, I promise you, if you do things my way, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be the easy life. It's going to be your best life now. God doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us a promise in Scripture that nobody wants to claim. Like, we love to claim the promises of God, am I right? We're like, God, give me a promise to claim. I want to hold on to that promise. Jesus is like, okay, here's a great promise for you. In this world, you will have trouble. Oh, man, that stinks. That's not the kind of promise I want. But it's God laying some truth on us and telling us life is not going to be perfect. Just because you're following after God and you're trusting him doesn't mean that everything is going to be beautiful and work out and pain-free. And I don't want to deceive you and say that it's not going to happen, but we have to learn that we need to rely upon ourselves. We cannot rely on ourselves. Do not rely on yourself. Here's the thing. Dependence on God is a habit that's developed over time and through difficult circumstances. Dependence on God is a habit that's developed over time and through difficult circumstances. So it's super easy to trust God when times are hard. But we're talking about, when times are easy, but when we're talking about life where things are not easy, that's when it's difficult to trust God. And if we're going to depend upon God, it's like any other habit in our life that we have to develop. You know, good habits are really hard to develop. Bad habits are so easy to develop. I'm just gonna say that if your goal in life was to develop habits and you had, you know, good habits or bad habits, right? And it was just up to you, I guarantee you're gonna go the easy route, and it's gonna be bad habit after bad habit after bad habit. And we've seen people who do that. We've seen people that head down a destructive lifestyle because they're always taking the easier route and they're always choosing the bad habit, and it's easy to develop, but when it comes to a good habit, when it comes to something that's healthy and beneficial for us, it's always going to be difficult for us to learn that. And dependence upon God is a learned habit. It's something that we have to do once and say, that worked, I'm going to do that again. It was a little bit hard, but I'm going to do it again because it worked out. And we just have to keep trusting God and keep depending upon God. And when we do that, we're doing things God's way, and we're not relying on ourselves. And the third thing is this: make godly plans. Make godly plans. So Abram made a few choices. He made a few plans along his journey. What was the thing that was missing from Abram's plan? God. He just kind of left God out. He was like, I'm going to do this plan because it's logical and it makes sense. I'm going to do this plan because I want to avoid a difficult situation. And each time he decided to do that, he left God out and said, I'm not going to include God in my plan because I want to say I did it my way. The reality is that when we leave God out of our plans, they're not godly. See, God is the attribute. He's the ingredient that makes your plan godly. A godly plan has God at the center of it. If you exclude God, expect to fail. If you exclude God from your plans, expect your plans to fail. But if you include God in your plans, you know that even when there's difficult times, that even when there's moments that to the world may appear as failure, and maybe even yourself, you might be up against something difficult and say, this looks like things are going wrong, it looks like a failure. But you know this, if you're trusting God and you're dependent on Him and you're obedient to Him and you're doing things God's way, you know that it's all going to work out in the end. And if we were to, you know, take a step back and look at Abraham's entire life and recognize Abraham learned from his mistakes, he learned from his failures, he learned from that, and he trusted God, and that's the reason that Abraham is probably one of the most famous people in the Bible, because of his dependence and his trust that he placed in God. And for each and every one of us, here's the thing that we need to understand. When God extends this beautiful blessing to Abraham, I mean, this is something that we can claim as well, because we understand that the relationship, the covenant relationship that God had with Abraham, that we have that same kind of covenant relationship with God, which means that when we're obedient to God and we're trusting Him and we're staying within those parameters that God set for us, that does give us the best life according to God's plan. If we're staying within that, then we know that the blessing applies to us. We know that this blessing applies to our lives. But when we step outside of that and we say, God, I'm going to do it my way, we're on our own. We are literally on our own. And I don't know about you guys, but I've been on my own before. I've been in those places where I trusted my own wisdom and I made my own decisions, my own choices, and I left God out of my plans. And I regret. I regret all of those moments. I learned from them, but there's still that regret, wishing I would have trusted God the first time and got it right. And I'm pretty sure at the end of this journey, Abraham's like, you know what? I should have trusted God there. I shouldn't have done that. I should have just trusted God. I should have just depended upon Him. Let's learn from the mistakes of Abraham. Let's learn from Abraham's loser moment so that we don't fall into the same trap. And so just like always, we open God's word, God communicates truth to our lives, and we're faced with a decision. What are we going to do with this information? What are we going to do with God's truth? Are we going to pay attention to it? Are we going to make the adjustments in our life that we need to make in order for us to line up with God's standard and God's guidelines? Or are we going to continue to do things our own way? That's a choice each and every one of us has. God, the ultimate gentleman, is giving you that choice and saying, choose me, choose to do things my way, or be on your own. That's the choice that lays before us. And let me just say this. I've been down that road where you do your own thing. I've known people that have gone down. I've seen people's lives utterly destroyed because they chose to do things their own way. Man, Abraham, I look at Abraham's life, I'm like, man, Abraham, you really got lucky in that situation that God stepped in when He did. And maybe you look back at your own life and you're like, man, I was really fortunate that God stepped into my life at that moment and saved me from myself. And isn't that about what God is all about? Isn't that what He does? That's the act of salvation in itself. When God sent Jesus, His own Son, to come to this earth to die for us, it was an act of God saving us, rescuing us from ourselves. And if you're in this room today and you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you've committed your life and your heart to Him, you've experienced God's rescue. And so God has proven Himself to you that He is trustworthy. And I plead with you to continue to trust God through your life. Continue to follow after Him. Continue to do the things He's calling you to do. Continue to be led by Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because here's the reality for every single one of us. The moment we go over that cliff, the moment that cliff turns vertical on us, we've got to depend. We've got to lean on God. Because if we don't, we're going to end up smacking against that wall. That's just the reality of life. And so my challenge to you, at the end of your life, you do not want to say, I did it my way. If you do that, you're going to be looking back on a life that you're not proud of. But if you look back on your life and you say, I did it God's way, you'll see God in all of those difficult moments and all of those struggles. You'll see His hand. You'll see Him working. And in the end, God is going to meet all of your needs. God is going to surpass all of your expectations. And that's what it means to do things God's way. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, this is a tough story for us to look at, because when we look at Abraham's life and we see ourselves. We see ourselves making bad choices and doing things our own way because we think it's maybe the smarter way to do it. And somehow we convince ourselves that we know better. But God, I pray for every person in this room right now, Father, that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives, not just in this moment, God, but in the continued moments that we'll face throughout our lives. And help us, God, to see clearly that if we don't trust in you, that if we don't depend upon you, we're going to fail. Help us to lean on you, to put our full dependence and our full trust on you, so that when life goes vertical, we're still supported. We're still held in your arms, in your hands, your strong hands. And maybe you're here today and right now you're facing a situation where you're just like, I've got a choice. Every time we face fear, we have a choice. Every time we face uncertainty, we have a choice. Every time we face a shortage, we have a choice. And maybe right now you're facing that choice. Are you going to choose to trust in God and his provision and his direction for your life? Or are you going to do it your way? That's the choice that's before you. And maybe today you find yourself in that situation. I just want to pray for you. So if you're here today and you find yourself in a place where you're faced by a choice, whether it's fear, uncertainty, shortage, whatever it is, would you just lift up your hand and I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Anybody else? Just lift it up so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. So God, you see these hands and you know these hearts, Father. You know what situation they're facing. And maybe it's identical to what Abraham was facing. Maybe it's something totally different, but the same type of decision needs to be made. And so, God, I pray you give them the strength and give them the grace to choose your way over their way. Pray that for all of us, God, even if we haven't reached that moment. Maybe we're in a place in our lives right now, God, where it seems to be going smoothly, Father, but that doesn't guarantee that tomorrow is going to be beautiful and pain-free. So God, would you help us, each one of us?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You thought of us before the world.